This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of The Zioli Show. Do us a favor, please subscribe to the podcast, rate it, and tell your friends. Come on, I got kids to feed. College isn't going to pay for itself, you know? Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Let's talk about Howard Schultz and his bad coffee for a second, shall we? Starbucks. Let's talk about that, because, you know, a lot of people have said that guy, Howard Schultz, he could become president. No, he can't. He cannot become president, but I hope he runs. You know why? Because Howard Schultz running helps Trump get reelected president. Here's why. We'll never have a third party candidate win the presidency. Never. They might come close. By close, I mean 10% of the vote and zero electoral votes, but they will never win the White House. They might come close, and by close, I mean having no electoral votes, but come really, really close in people's hearts and minds. We can never have and never will have somebody win the presidency in this country who is a third-party candidate or independent. Now, I know that that's mean, and I've had several people today say, well, not with that kind of attitude. It's not about attitude. It's about patronage. It's about money. That's what it's about. It's about money. Here's the fact of the matter and the situation right now of what's happening in this country right now, of where we are. Government is everywhere in our lives, in every single level and layer of government. All around you, look around, there's government. Just look wherever you are. I'm looking at a big bridge. The bridge I'm looking at right now is called the Ben Franklin Bridge. The Ben Franklin Bridge goes between two states, as you know, Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It is run by an authority called the Delaware River Port Authority, right? But if I go up a little bit up on 95 and I want to cross the bridge that way, I can cross over the Tacony-Palmyra Bridge. That bridge is run by the Burlington Bridge Commission. Now, if I want to go south and cross, I could go south over the Delaware Memorial Bridge. And that bridge is run by the Delaware Bay Authority. Right. I know it's all very complicated. The fact of the matter is this. A lot of people make money off of these various government entities everywhere. Towns and agencies and authorities left and right. And you know what happens? They get jobs and also contracts, lucrative contracts. And the party in power tends to hand those things out. And so the party in power makes sure that they stay in power at every level of government. How many towns in this country are governed by a third party? How many? None, right? I mean, you can occasionally have somebody who's a libertarian win or an independent win. They're outliers, though. There's no town in America that's governed by a libertarian majority or a independent majority or a socialist majority. No, it doesn't work that way. They're outliers, always outliers in anything in life. Howard Schultz or Michael Bloomberg, one of those two running, would be great because they would siphon votes away from Donald Trump. I'm sorry, away from the Democrats who try to go against Donald Trump. They would. Because the people that would vote for them would never vote for Donald Trump in a million years. Not in a million years. They wouldn't. I mean, think about it. Michael Bloomberg would love to go door to door and confiscate every gun in America. So if your choice is between Donald Trump or Michael Bloomberg, you're not going to sit there and go, oh, gee, I don't know who to vote for. I scratch my head. Michael Bloomberg is so anti-Second Amendment, it's not even a question for you. But if it's between Michael Bloomberg, Donald Trump, and some other Democrat on the ballot, you might be a little bit confused because, you know, maybe you like Bloomberg and you think he'd be great. So you might go, all right, I'll pull the lever for Bloomberg. Then you take a vote away from the Democrat, which helps Trump. Same thing with Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz is not going to be a situation where you are really, what do I do? Schultz or Trump? What do I do? No, it'll be Trump, Schultz, and then Democrat. And that person who would decide between Schultz and the Democrat would really have a tough choice to make. And then Schultz would draw votes away from the Democrat. This is how it works, though, in the reality of life. When Ross Perot ran, Ross Perot drew votes away from George H.W. Bush, which helped Bill Clinton become president. And Donald Trump, you know, for years flirted with third-party runs in various different forms. He recognized, though, that even though he wasn't a standard Republican, to be elected president, you had to go through a party vehicle. Over the weekend, the Republican National Committee did something unique. They endorsed him for president for 2020. Now, I'm here to tell you it's a purely symbolic move. It doesn't have much meaning, but it's a very important move. Because it sends a message to state parties, hey, he's our guy. So whatever you got to do, don't let there be a primary challenge in your state. It says to state Republican parties, don't let there be a primary challenge in your state. Whatever you got to do, make sure that Donald Trump is the only guy who wins the primary in your state. If that means you got to skip a convention, you got to skip a caucus, you got to do whatever you got to do. Don't let somebody else win in your state but him. Now, the guy who orchestrated all this for the Trump campaign is a guy named Bill Stepien. Bill Stepien used to work for Chris Christie, the former governor of New Jersey. And when Bill Stepien was hired by the Trump campaign over the summer of 2016, I said, well, Donald Trump made a very, very wise hire because Bill Stepien's a really smart guy. He was Trump's political director in the White House, and now he's on the campaign. So it was his idea to go to the Republican National Committee and have them do a unanimous vote supporting the president. But Bill learned that from Jersey politics, where in 2013, when Chris Christie was running for re-election, Chris Christie had all of the county chairs in the state, the Republican county chairs, all pledge their support to him for re-election. And they all said, yes, we'll back you and we'll support you and everything like that. Now, that matters on the state level in a big way because those county chairs control a lot of power. They control ballot access. And if you go against them, then they can make your life very difficult. But more importantly, though, the people that go against them that have money, that want to have jobs and want to work. For example, say there's some kid, you know, some guy is an idiot. You know, he's an idiot. There's all these idiots out there. And he has a job working on the Burlington County Bridge Commission. Or he works in the, you know, for some authority in Pennsylvania or something like that. Like the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission. Now, he's an idiot. He can't get any other job anywhere. But his uncle is a commissioner on one of these things. Well, his uncle knows that if he goes against the powers that be, his idiot nephew is going to lose the job. But also the engineering firm is going to lose the big contract. All of these various authorities and boards throughout our region, throughout our country, they're all controlled by whatever party's in power. And so the parties in power wind up staying in power for the most part because they have a lot of money to give away. Think about it. Between right now from where I am talking, you've got, I'll read you just a couple of different things. You have the Delaware River and Bay Authority, the Burlington County Bridge Commission, the Delaware River Port Authority, the Delaware Department of Transportation, the New Jersey Turnpike Authority, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, the South Jersey Transportation Authority, the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transportation Authority, you know it as SEPTA, the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission, the Delaware River Joint Toll Bridge Commission, the Burlington County Bridge Commission, and the Delaware River and Bay Authority. Now, you know all these things, right? There's all these different entities. Each one is its own separate government entity to hand out its own separate contracts and to hire people and give them jobs and hand out its own engineering contracts and legal contracts and landscaping contracts and to hand out their own jobs. And on it goes. And the people that make sure that the people get elected all have their jobs to do at the local level for each party. And this goes on throughout the country in every municipality and every state in the country, which is why we have a two-party system. It's that simple. It's just that simple. And it's never going to change because of patronage. Because whenever, you know, and somebody pointed out to me today correctly that Abraham Lincoln technically was a third party candidate. True, in 1860, but that was a long time ago. Once patronage came around in the early Tammany Hall days, once patronage came around and people realized, hey, governments are good at handing out jobs and lucrative contracts. And hey, we can start forming all these entities, these independent entities to be run by politicians who will appoint people to run these entities and then hand out jobs and contracts. Very, very powerful, lucrative contracts and jobs over and over and over again. They realize now this was a way to keep power. That's why the two-party system has yet to be challenged by any real semblance. Why Bernie Sanders is running as a Democrat, not as an independent or a socialist. That's the reason. So that's why Howard Schultz is never going to become president of the United States, but he will take votes away from Democrats, which is why you're going to see people trash the former Starbucks CEO very, very quickly. They'll trash him because they realize that, too. A lot of young people, though, won't realize that fact. They'll go, wait a second. Wouldn't it be so great? The two-party system's so frustrating. Wouldn't it be great to have a third-party candidate? Yes, it would. It would also be great if I could be Batman. But certain things in life are just not going to happen. Reality is reality. It is the way it is. Because too many people make money off of government. That's how it works. Why do we have all these different boards and commissions? Why do we have so many different entities? Why is it between where I'm speaking right now, there are 18 different transportation authorities that run different bridges and roads and trains and buses and that sort of thing. I left New Jersey Transit off the list, but they're part of it too. It's exactly that, because the more government you have, the more goodies you can give away, the more jobs and the more contracts. And every single job and contract comes with a political party attached to it, Republican or Democrat, period. And that's at the local level. And so as you go up and up and up on the ladder, by the time you get to the state level of governor, well, all those counties want to make sure that they're backing the right horse for governor, because that governor is going to hand out a lot of those jobs and contracts to their friends. And then by the time you get to the presidency, those governors want to make sure that the president is their friend. And on it goes. And the wheel continues and the wheel continues and the wheel spins. The swamp is much bigger than just Washington, D.C. The swamp is just all of politics in general. But that's good news, though, for an incumbent president like Trump. Howard Schultz would be a fantastic, fantastic candidate, and I do hope he runs to offer America a new vision of how to burn coffee and let people use your restroom for free, except when you want to call the cops on them. Now, I personally think he's got a lot to offer America. How to burn coffee and overcharge people for it, and then come up with racially diverse names for coffee, like Flat White, which is literally a coffee name, Flat White. Anyway, I'm not a Starbucks guy. I never have been. Howard Schultz was on TV over the weekend, and everybody was going, isn't it time? Both parties are broken. Yes, both parties are broken. But you know who both parties work for? People that make money off of the political parties. Big engineering firms and law firms and all kinds of other firms, too. They make lots and lots of money, and they think the two-party system is just fine. And as long as that's how it works, they're going to be A-OK. It's also why, at the end of the day, really, why the two parties all kind of work together to make sure that they're all taken care of. You know, it's really why they all pat each other on the back. It's why they all, you know, help each other at the end of the day. It's part of the reason why Trump got elected is because he's a bulldozer who's going to go in there and smash all this to pieces. One hopes. Elizabeth Warren wants to be president. You know, she is 1/1024th Native American, as you know, and 1/1024th a candidate for president. She's not officially a candidate yet because she can't really declare yet because of all kinds of financial campaign laws, but she's running, and Elizabeth Warren is scary. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210. There is a really interesting piece by Kevin Williamson over at National Review. Her tax plan, Elizabeth Warren's tax plan, is asset forfeiture. Yes, exactly right. Asset forfeiture. She's looking at taking people's things and goods and then using those things and goods to spread it around and give it to other people. It's what a lot of people like to do. Ben Stein had a tweet earlier today talking about all the policies of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Elizabeth Warren and others. Same policies that happen in places like the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany and other places like this. Because when you start promising that you'll give people lots and lots of things, well, then you have to take things from other people to give them lots and lots of things. But that doesn't change. As history goes on, it doesn't change. It's just we look around now and we go, oh, how unique of them. How interesting of them. Every Democrat who gets in the race now is going to have to be asked a series of questions by all of the intelligentsia of the left. And that is, do you agree with Medicare for All, for example? Do you agree? Are you going to go with Medicare for All? Will you agree to this? And then if it is, what's it going to cost? And they're all going to say things like, it doesn't matter what it costs. How much would Medicare for All cost? Democrats' health care plan explained. This is from FoxNews.com. The government-funded health care system, strongly opposed by President Trump and fellow Republicans, would expand benefits beyond what is already offered under Obama's Affordable Care Act. That legislation was first introduced in 2016 by Bernie Sanders, who said it would be another step toward achieving universal health care. During a speech to officially launch her 2020 run, Senator Kamala Harris of California declared health care is a fundamental right and vowed to serve her constituents by supporting Medicare for All. Yes, it's just the right thing to do, she said. Since then, 2020 candidate Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Julian Castro, the lesser Castro, Senator Elizabeth Warren, former Native American, and Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii have also endorsed the program. While Democrats are embracing the plan, critics point to the soaring costs of implementing it, something numerous studies put well into the trillions. There doesn't seem to be much dispute that a single-payer system would require tax increases, since the government would essentially take over premiums not paid by employers and individuals as it replaces the private health insurance industry. The question is, how much? Medicare for All is estimated to cost tens of trillions of dollars over a decade. Several independent studies have estimated that government spending on healthcare would increase dramatically in the range of about $25 trillion to $35 trillion or more over a 10-year period. Specifically, a study released over the summer by the Mercatus Center at George Mason University estimated it would cost $32.6 trillion per year over 10 years. For comparison, the federal budget proposal for the fiscal year 2019 was $4.4 trillion. Bernie Sanders blasted the Mercatus Center's analysis as grossly misleading and biased. He said, quote, if every major country on earth can guarantee health care to all and achieve better health outcomes while spending substantially less per capita than we do, it's absurd for anyone to suggest that the United States cannot do the same. This grossly misleading and biased report is the Koch brothers' response to the growing support in our country for a Medicare for All program. Analysis by the New York Times in 2017 showed at least 74 million Americans who currently benefit from Medicaid would potentially face higher taxes under Medicare for All. Now, this is important to understand. If you want to run for president as a Democrat, you have to support Medicare for All. This is one of those baseline things. If you want to try to run and to be some sort of a, I don't know, sensible, fiscal conservative Democrat, you're not going to make it out of the starting gate. You're not. The party wants to have somebody who believes all things are possible with taking somebody else's money and then just using that money for whatever they want to use it for. And that's why a guy like Howard Schultz has no chance now. Because Howard Schultz, he may be a guy who knows how to run a business. I mean, obviously, Starbucks is a very successful company in this country. But unless Howard Schultz decides to jump on the Medicare for All gravy train and everything else, he doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance anyway as a third-party candidate. But he could play the role of spoiler. There are enough Democrats out there who I think look at their party as being completely kooky. I mean, I get the calls every now and then from people that say, Rich, I'm a Democrat or I'm a liberal. I can't even understand what's happening right now. They might really, a guy like Schultz might appeal to them. Truly, he might. You know, somebody like him who is a guy who knows how to run a business and hire people, he can certainly point to that. You don't have to like his coffee to acknowledge the guy knows how to run a company. And so I think Howard Schultz could pull those kind of voters away from the kookiness of the Democratic Party, and that hurts whoever is the Democratic candidate in 2020. That's why I say run. Run, Schultzy, run. This is Howard Schultz over the weekend, cut 9.
I am seriously thinking of running for president. I will run as a centrist independent outside of the two-party system. We're living at a most fragile time. Not only the fact that this president is not qualified to be the president, but the fact that both parties are consistently not doing what's necessary on behalf of the American people and aren't engaged every single day in revenge politics.
Why run as an independent? Your views have always aligned with the Democratic Party.
It's true. I've been a lifelong Democrat. I look at both parties. We see extremes on both sides. Well, we are sitting today with approximately $21.5 trillion of debt, which is a reckless example, not only of Republicans, but of Democrats as well, as a reckless failure of their constitutional responsibility.
Do you worry that you're going to siphon votes away from the Democrats and thereby ensure that President Trump has a second term?
I want to see the American people win. I want to see America win. I don't care if you're Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, Republican, bring me your ideas, and I will be an independent person who will embrace those ideas because I am not in any way in bed with a party.
All right, well, there you go. He doesn't answer the question, but the answer is yes. He will siphon votes away. Of course he will. And the votes he'll siphon away are Democrat votes. That's not a bad thing, by the way, if you want Trump to get reelected. Senator Elizabeth Warren, for example, now this is what she believes. She believes the federal government has the ability under the law to seize assets of wealthy Americans. You know, for years I've been against asset forfeiture, civil asset forfeiture. I've been an outspoken critic of this unconstitutional policy, and part of the reason why is because I've always said that if you can justify taking someone's pickup truck under the argument that they may or may not use it to deal drugs, or someone's cash under the argument that they may or may not use it to buy drugs, then you can take anybody's stuff with any sort of rationale or reasoning. You know, if you don't put limits on this stuff, then somebody else will come along and use it for their purposes. It is my political axiom. Whatever you allow to happen now, whatever you can justify, whatever civil liberty you can allow to be abused now, will be abused even further down the road, only you just won't like it down the road. So, you know, there's stories of people that have their cash taken on the side of the road. Well, we have reason to believe you might buy drugs. Why do you believe that? Well, you have cash, or we're taking it. Or we're taking this pickup truck because you bought pot with it, so now we get to take it. That sort of thing. Just taking your property. The door is already open for the government to seize your property under the idea of civil forfeiture, and you got to fight like hell to get it back, if you even get it back. So the door's already open for that. Now, what Elizabeth Warren proposes is taking people's money under the idea that it's not really theirs. Remember, her mindset is, you didn't build this. You know, you didn't build it. Somebody else built the roads. They built the roads. So it's not really yours anyway. So you didn't. It's not really yours to begin with. In some ways, you stole it so they can seize it to get it back. It's an asset forfeiture program. Now, there are those who support this because they figure that they got to be tough on terrorists and drug dealers. I've always said you got to do it with a criminal conviction for the reason that it's the only way to preserve the rule of the Constitution regarding due process of law, which is that before the government can take your life, your liberty, your property, there has to be due process of law. You got to be found guilty of a crime. Otherwise, it's going to be abused. And sure enough, Elizabeth Warren has talked about the idea of taking the bank accounts of wealthy people and also corporations and freezing that money and then taking that money, especially money that might be ill-gotten, Wall Street money that might be ill-gotten. Well, that's easy to prove, right? I mean, all you got to do is make the allegation. Well, I don't think this company earned this money, or this company got this money because they were selling those dreaded opioids. And so therefore, this is really drug money. So we're going to seize this money. I mean, my God, what this woman is capable of doing, I have no idea. But I do know that she's capable of lying about her fake Native American ancestry, so she's capable of doing anything else. But in order to have a revolution, which is what they want a revolution here, you got to do something bold. I mean, you got to do something bold to pay for something like Medicare for All. You got to do something bold and crazy. Well, there are a lot of corporations out there with lots of money, and they've gotten that money through, in her mind, some very, very sleazy ways, by seizing people's houses, by selling them opioids, by doing all kinds of things that she doesn't like. And then when she's president, God forbid, she will then have the power to take their money. I'm not talking through taxation. I'm talking about literal asset forfeiture. This is a great piece in National Review, as I mentioned. Senator Warren's asset forfeiture scheme, like many similar proposals, would not raise much revenue and might, in fact, leave the country as a whole economically worse off. And the people advising Senator Warren on that are perfectly content with that outcome. Because as Emmanuel Suez and Gabriel Sukman argue in the case of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's proposal to radically increase income taxes, this is to be understood. It's not an economic question, but a moral one. It is simply morally obligatory to hurt wealthy people. The point of high top marginal income tax rates is to constrain the immoderate and especially unmerited accumulation of riches. And who gets to decide what's merited and what's unmerited? What are the chances that, say, Senator Warren's modest millions on her multi-million dollar homes are deemed unmerited? What decides, of course, is unrestricted power based on force, not law, because whoever has the guns makes the law, which is why whenever you look at all of these other socialist paradises across the world, they lose two rights, two basic rights. Well, freedom of speech and freedom to defend themselves against their government. Those two things are always compatible, because if you have those two rights, then your government can't just come in and take all your stuff. It makes it very, very difficult, as you can imagine. But then the government gets to keep all their stuff. And then the power brokers get to keep all their money. That's a tale as old as time, as they say.
Rich Cioli, 3 to 6, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.